Money FM 89.3. Best of Drive Time. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. Good afternoon. It is Drive Time with Elliot Danker, Timothy Goh, and Chua Tien Tien. It's time now for Culture Club, and we're talking about the culture of shopping today. Yeah, you know, retailers are in a bit of a challenging phase. They're finding new ways to engage customers, okay? They've got fierce competition, retail space is expensive, margins decreasing. Then you've got the situation where shoppers are much more well-informed, a little bit entitled perhaps, a lot more savvy than they used to be. So what's a retailer going to do? Well, a retail pop-up. That's exactly what our next guest did, starting a lifestyle retail pop-up in the early 2000s, growing into one of Singapore's most popular shopping events. So if there's a shopping event worth splashing your cash on this month, you'll want to find out more about this. Charlotte Kane, founder and director of Boutique Fairs, is on the line. Charlotte, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Elliot. How are you?
Very good, and what a great time to be talking about shopping ahead of the weekend.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
I want to find out more. I mean, I did some checking. I went to the website, found out a little bit about Boutique Fair Singapore. I understand there are a lot of retails on board. I think something like 250, if I'm not wrong.
Yep, that's correct.
So this idea started back in, what, the early 2000s? Tell me a little bit more about it.
It started in Boutique Fair Singapore started in 2002. The first pop-up was at the Fort Canning Center. We had 17 vendors. It was the impetus behind starting boutiques was really that at that time I had a short stint of working as an artist, and I was selling my artworks through galleries, and I realized that I really missed the interaction and the dialogue with the buyer. And I also realized that there were several trading wives in Singapore who had an opportunity to make their dream come true and start a small business. But as you mentioned earlier, retail spaces back then were also very expensive. So by inviting them to the Canning Center, it gave them an opportunity to talk directly with the customers and have a dialogue and, of course, sell their goods and get feedback. And feedback is incredibly important if you want to move on with your passion.
Yeah. So I suppose this means that every year since 2002, you've constantly had to evolve the concept. If not, why from 17 vendors to 250? You must be doing something right.
Yeah. I think the interest is really there. And so many of the brands that take part in boutiques do not have a retail store, and they are only online. So this is really a prime opportunity for them to meet with the customers and also meet with a very wide range of customers, because I would say that we have close to every single nationality coming down to the F1 pit building.
I have to say, from a customer point of view, there's a lot of fun, attending or going to a sort of a retail pop-up.
Yes, there is. I mean, first of all, at boutiques, you get to meet the designers. Yeah. So one of the requirements for taking part in boutiques is that the designer is on site throughout the event. Mm-hmm. So you get the opportunity to meet the designer. You get the opportunity to learn and connect more about, to learn more about the brand and connect more with the brand through the stories from the designer. And also most of the designers, they have some sort of sustainability. Mm-hmm. So that's also a very interesting story and definitely connects to the brand very well.
Definitely want to talk about those sustainability trends in just a bit. For now, though, an unfortunate rewind to the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, this is mind-boggling when you consider that a lot of sort of restrictions were in place. How did you have to rethink the entire concept?
Well, I did try. I did try with an online boutique, but after 6 months, I just realized that it wasn't going to work. Because at that point, this was, I think it was in the middle part of COVID.
Yeah.
Most of the brands that used to be part of boutiques really had put a lot of work into their own website. So it just, you know, in hindsight, it wasn't the right thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, not everything can go online, right? If these guys are already doing it, how could you?
Well, yes, and to be honest, I mean, going online wasn't something I was very passionate about. Yeah. It was a necessity because right. I'm passionate about dialogue and communication and, you know, people having the customers having the opportunity to try things on and touch and feel and smell.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I definitely enjoyed it. That's why I do most of my shopping when I'm overseas and rather than order online. But, you know, 2 decades in this business, you must have seen a lot of, I won't say trend, but customer expectation change. Any stand out for you?
I think that customers are very much looking for quality.
Okay.
I think customers really enjoy being able to buy something that's not just, you know, off the rack and made in, you know, huge factories, etc. So I think customers like to buy things where they can stand out. They like to buy things from small labels where they can support the designer, they can support the brand, and therewith they also support the social responsibility that lies behind it. So I haven't really seen any trends. I see trends in what brands do, like the right after COVID, there was an enormous amount of new brands starting up with scents, candles, and that type of thing. So fashion has been a little bit difficult after COVID.
I mean, we were talking about expectation, and one of the things was, you know, how customers like to have some kind of a vested interest. You say they like to have that bond with the designer, right? So vested interest-wise, there's this topic of sustainability. What are your observations on this front?
Well, all of the brands at boutiques have some sort of sustainability within their brand, and it can be anything from working with artisans around Asia and South America, basically anywhere in the world, and supporting those communities. It can be from the materials that they use, that it's organic cottons, linens, et cetera, et cetera. So that type of sustainability, environmental as well.
Every little bit. Okay, let's talk about the fun stuff. Spring Summer 2023 edition of Boutique Fair. Tell us some highlights, please.
Yes. Well, we have 250 brands. We have about 70 new brands joining us this time, which is super exciting. We have a little bit more food than we used to have. We have two cafes. Last time we had. Sorry, we had one cafe.
Okay.
We have something that I'm really excited about, which is an exhibition of theater costumes by Max Tan, the Singapore designer. I think he's won 2 prizes for these designs.
Mm.
We have a scavenger hunt by Veg the City, which is a local tour group company that's going to do a really cool scavenger hunt around the 7 rooms. So it's, I think boutiques covers about 10,000 square meters, so it's a lot of things.
Sheesh,
to cover.
Wow. It's quite interesting. Yeah, you have these 7 rooms. Tell me a bit about how you came up with this. So Scarlet, Indigo, Amber, Breathe, Blue, Rose, and Green. I love it. What's the theme here?
Well, I'm glad that you like it. The theme was that not much, to be very honest.
I don't know. Just reading it out makes me feel relaxed, you know.
we didn't want to do numbers. We didn't want to do famous authors or something like that. The colors really, really made sense. And because the rooms are basically set up in the same way, we need to be able, the customers need to be able to distinguish which room they're in. So that's why we did that.
Yeah, you've got a lot of other, you know, side activities, even a mini bonsai workshop that's happening as well. I mean, it's come a long way. You see this evolution, right? Is there pressure, you know, each time you plan the next annual event where it's not just about the boutiques that are there, but the activities as well, because you've got to keep everyone entertained?
Well, yes. We do try to incorporate different activities. This time, I forgot to mention, we also have talks by, I think we have 10 different authors.
Wow.
And these talks are by Issa's book.
Yeah.
So we have an author circle. And so every time we try to do something a little bit different. And, you know, it's whatever pops up. We've had a big workshop space where customers can do block printing and do take part in various workshops by the designers. We've had a green area where customers learned about, you know, growing plants, et cetera, et cetera. So we try to change it up every time. Mm. If I may just add, every time we also support Singapore charities. Mm. So we have around, this time I think we have around 7 charities.
Okay.
So we offer the charities a free space so that they can, you know, share about the charity and maybe have volunteer sign-ups, et cetera, et cetera. Because I felt that when I started boutiques, I felt that a lot of people live in little bubbles and didn't realize that there are actually people in Singapore that also need help. So we're supporting a journey, which is artworks by the intellectual disabled. We're supporting BAIDS, Daughters of Tomorrow, and other charities. It's about giving a bit also.
No, it's very holistic, right? Well, if you want to find out more, head over to boutiquefairs.com.sg. Lots of experiences you can look forward to. I'll probably be at one of the cafes, followed by the facial. I don't think I will need the lash services at Amber, but we'll see how that goes. Thank you so much for taking the time. I've been speaking with Charlotte Kane, who is founder and director of Boutique Fairs. Thank you and have a great weekend ahead.
Same to you, Elliot. Thanks a lot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.